over on that side of things. You have a good weekend, long weekend ahead of us, and well, it's pretty well gone by us now with Sunday. Had beautiful weather, though, right? Races got in at most of the short tracks. I say most out on the east coast of Canada. They definitely struggled out there at Speedway 660 to get their 250. It didn't happen on Saturday, but it is supposed to be happening tonight. I haven't seen the weather forecast, don't know what's happening, but it should be going. Cross fingers, hopefully everything does go according to the way they have it laid out for today. But let me tell you who we've got coming on the show tonight. We have got a dynamite lineup for you. We're going to kick it all off with the guy that went to Victory Lane in the Ontario Sportsman Series, normally running a 100-lap race. Last night at Flamborough, they split it into 250s. Kevin Trevlin, driver of the 19, went to Victory Lane and won, finished second in the t'other, and he is going to join the show tonight. We'll talk to Kev about the season, talk to him about last night at Flamborough Speedway, and see what his thoughts are heading in to the very end of this season. I can imagine they still have some races left to go. We'll also catch up tonight with the late model champion at Sauble Speedway. He's the defending APC champion and hoping to make it a repeat visit next weekend at Delaware Speedway. But Josh Stoddy is going to join us. He wrapped up the championship last week, and we've got him here tonight on Race Time. So looking forward to catching up with Joshua on that. We'll head off to the west coast of Canada. Big night at Saratoga Speedway just last night. It was the 49th annual Canada 200 for the late models out there. And a new name for us, for a new name for me anyway, going to Victory Lane. We're going to have Russ Jensen on the show. He went to Victory Lane, and I'll tell you what a battle at the end of this baby. He was right there. The 98 of Kyle Wade, he was right there battling away with the 65 car. Of course, the 98 won last year. He definitely wanted to win last night, but he wasn't going to do anything crazy to knock the 65 out of the way for the victory. He raced him straight up, and tell you what, we got lots to talk about with Rusty when we get him on the show. Also out west, the Canadian Super Trucks got their championship all nailed down, and we're going to talk to one of the feature winners. We've got Jaws Tissington coming up. He went to Victory Lane in his 31 truck, but winning the war was the number 7 of Dave Bedard. He won the championship, so we got lots to talk to those guys about. And we're going to try and fit in Andrew Ranger, that just went to Victory Lane not a half hour ago at CTMP. It was the final road course race for NASCAR Canada, the WeatherTech 200. Big weekend at CTMP. Lots of fans, beautiful weather, and record car counts for NASCAR Canada. 39 cars in all on the racetrack. And it was Andrew Ranger going to Victory Lane. I've got a message out to him. We'll see if we can get him a little bit later in the show. He's got lots of media avails that he has to do right at the Speedway, but I'm hoping we're going to be able to grab him right after he's done all that. He's always gracious with his time on Race Time, but what do you say we get this party started with the driver of the 19 in the Ontario Sportsman Series? Kevin Trevlin goes to Victory Lane at Flamborough Speedway, and he's with us now. What's going on there, Mr. Winner?
Yeah, it was a pretty good, it was a hectic day, but we got a second in the first 50, and then we won the second one, which was pretty good.
Yeah, that's the way you do it, Kev. That's not your first wins in those cars. It's been a decent season for you, but I believe that's your first win this year, right?
We won at Peterborough 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
More than that. We have a rain out, but we did win at Peterborough.
Oh, that's cool. So did it feel good, I guess, to get that win? How are you looking in overall points?
I haven't seen the updated points, but I think we took the point lead. I'm not 100% sure, I'm sure. But I haven't seen exactly where the points are. But at least, you know, going into Sabo Beach for the final, we got a good shot at winning or, you know, contending for this championship, which is more than anybody can ask for, your, you know, going into the last race of the year.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there's been some big-time battles on the racetrack in that Ontario Sportsman Series this year. You guys have been getting her on. What was last night like? Was it, were things tamed down a wee bit and guys were maybe racing more than they were trying to get guys out of the way last night?
Yeah, it seemed like a little bit better of a race than a shoving contest. I know some of our races got into a little rough here and there with some stuff. I mean, I've been at the receiving end of, you know, Puntsville, getting punted out of the way and moved and, you know, some body damage and whatever. But I was up at the front, so I didn't really see a lot of the action behind me. I was just concentrating, looking forward. But at the end of the night, it seemed like there weren't too many unhappy people, which was kind of nice.
Well, we know for sure the 19 was excited to go out there and win that race. Where'd you start the night?
We qualified third during qualifying, so that we started the first race third, and then they did a roll the dice inversion, and they rolled four. So I started third again, right? So it kind of I started in the second 50 where I ended the first one. Well, sort of. No, I finished second. But anyway, as they dropped the green flag, the front row were, I don't know what they were doing, but they bumped into each other and they both broke something in the steering.
Oh.
And then it was the 47 and I on the restart. I got a good run down in the corner and I just led the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. I got to ask you, normally in the Ontario Sportsman Series, every feature races 100 laps. Why was it twin 50s last night? And was it a true twin 50 format where you got points in both races, or was it treated as one race?
Well, we had what is called our triple track Ecotech challenge and then the second Flamborough event got rained out. So what they did was took this event and split it in two to make up for that race that got rained out. So we can have our triple track champion. It's a lot of, you know, they tried to appease all the sponsors and keep everybody happy, and it worked out. So, yes, it was considered two separate races, two separate point nights. That's why I'm not really sure I don't have the point breakdown in front of me. That's why I'm not really sure where we're at. But, yeah, it was considered two separate events because they had to make up for the rain date.
We're with Kevin Treblin, driver of the 19 in the Ontario Sportsman Series. They were at Flamborough Speedway just last night. Kev ends up picking up the second 50, finished second in the first one. Sounds a little confusing, but trust me, it's a 1-2, and he had a wicked night in the Ontario Sportsman Series. How many more do you guys have before we call it a season? Are you watching it, like, concerned with the points, Kev, or do you just let them take care of themselves?
Our last event is on the 19th at Sabo Beach, which is in 2 weeks. It's 100 lappers, straight up 100 laps. I'm trying not to think about the points and where I'm at or what I got to gain or lose or whatever. I just want to go run the race. I know where I got to be. I know what I got to do. I don't want to think about points. I'll just get nervous and there's nothing I want to think about. I'm just going to, like today, I got home. I unloaded the car from yesterday. I've already got my new tires and everything mounted up for that race. I'm going to, you know, clean up the car, go through the car. I want to be prepared. I'm going to try and get everything I can done as soon as I can so I can kind of go there and just relax. My fiance Laura, we're bringing her OSS car to the Sabo Beach, so I'll have that. I know it's a little bit extra for what I'm dealing with, but we talked about her getting out this year, and she's running full-time at Buxton in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
But this will be her first OSS race this year. So I want to get her out for that. So I got a little bit of work to do getting into that race, but it'll kind of take my mind off of what I got coming up.
Yeah, it sure will. Nothing will preoccupy your mind like getting two cars ready instead of just one. You're a bugger for punishment, my man. And that's the way you want to have it. Kids all go back to school tomorrow. What's the family situation at your place? So you got a bunch of those kids running around going back to school, or are all things just like a normal September for you?
Well, Laura's little girl, she's going back to school. She's in grade 5. Most of my kids are older and out of school, so I don't have to worry about that. But September just. It's always funny to listen to that, you know, back to school stuff on the radio and TV and that, but we're just, I'm just getting ready for the next event here and concentrating on that. And we got some big plans for the off season and what we're going to do and maybe build some new stuff. I'm just trying to, today's a little bit of a relaxing day. I got everything unloaded already and I'm home for dinner, which is odd on a Sunday. So we're just taking it easy today, and I'll be back at it tomorrow in the shop.
Well, you'll be able to look at that trophy for at least another few days before you have to get out there and try and earn another one. Talking about the 19 car, your car's in great shape. Are you looking at replacing it or updating it? What would it take to make Kev even smile more?
We were talking about that the other day. I definitely wanted to get some, do some more front end updates on the car. It's one of my front clips on it that I've built. It's a little bit older. I'd say it's about 8 years old now, maybe older. So I want to do some updates on the car in the wintertime, maybe go through some stuff. We're always looking for better and faster and more consistent. So that's kind of the plan with that car. We've talked for the last couple of years about building another super stock, so that might be a possibility. We're looking into that. I got a big pile of parts. We're going to see about building another car.
Yeah. Well, looking at the super stocks, they're called the V8s or whatever at Delaware Speedway is one class, and then you got the super stock class there. Man, did they put the show on? You'd fit like glue in there.
That's what we want to do. We want to build another one. We had one a few years back. Well, it was an okay car. It was fun. But we want to try and maybe build something a little bit more competitive. And with the OTA family, they're the dirt people here. So we got a lot going on with that too. A couple late models, and we got 4 Thunderstocks that go out to Buxton. So busy schedule, busy off season, trying to get everybody, geared up for the next season. It never stops. Racing never stops, even when racing stops.
Yeah, always preparing for that next event, whether it's a month down the road or, a couple months down the road, it don't seem to matter. You still got to prepare for it. You got the fiance coming over to Asphalt. What are they going to have to do to get you over under the dirt, or could they?
Well, I have been running a Thunderstock. Her dad there, my father-in-law, he had, they've got an extra Thunderstock, not extra, but it's a car that they use for a spare.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in and out of it when I'm not OSS going. I get to go to Buxton and drive it and run it. So I'm learning that. I'm getting a little better. I tell you, when I first got in it, I had no idea, and I was... they were laughing at me all the time because I'm an asphalt guy. They're like, never seen the brakes glowing on a dirt car before.
So but you've managed to do it.
Yeah, well, I managed to keep off the brakes a little bit. And, it's a whole different technique, I'll tell you that.
Kev, has it made a difference, do you feel, in the way that you pilot the 19 in the Ontario Sportsman class? That dirt experience has to pay dividends in some way or fashion, right?
Yeah, I would say, and I tell everybody the same thing, seat time, doesn't matter what you're driving. That Thunderstock class is pretty competitive, and there's a few guys that are really hard to beat every week. So, and again, I haven't, I've been in a couple other cars before that were just not very competitive. This car is pretty good, and I'm just learning, and seat time, it's seat time for everything. And that's what I, you know, trying to tell with Laura. When she ran in 23 with the OSS, it really helped her with the dirt car.
Right.
Being a little bit more aggressive and you know, trying to get, you know, what you need with the car. Like, because those cars are, they're only 20 laps. The OSS is 100, so you can't fiddle faddle around. You got to go.
Yeah, you got to go when you got to go. There is no, there's no hiding when you're on those tracks. It's going to be amazing. Going to Victory Lane last night, those sponsors that are on that 19 got to be some happy. Who have you got along there with you?
We've got JM Fabrication, Awesome Racewear, McLeod Waterwells, Murray's Transmission from London, Brad's Delivery, all these people that have, you know, Mighty Wipes, Pam and her company have helped us out, helped Laura out lots. You know, Laura and her girls, we all, one big team, we're all trying to help each other. I'll tell you, Bill Daniels has been a really big help trying to keep keep my team moving forward. So, yeah, all these partners that came on this year have been just tremendous and awesome. And if we can win a championship for most of these companies that are new to racing and new to my team, it would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it sure would be. And you're working awful hard for it, Kev. I've followed you a lot of years, and I've always enjoyed watching the effort that you put in to your number 19 car. It's simply amazing, and couldn't wait to get you on here tonight to celebrate that victory. That's what you wanted to do, and mission accomplished. Now, I guess you got to hone in and win that final one at the beach. That'll put a cherry on top.
Absolutely. And I said, too, like, I've gone to Flamborough for a lot of years, and I finally got a win there. And, like, I was, oh, Bob Monroe, he come over and give me a feature sticker, and I'm like, this is cool. This is not going on the car. It's going on the scrapbook. So, you know, like, I've been there a long time, going there a lot. So I got a win. I mean, I've been second, I've been third, but I got a win there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love going there.
Well, dynamite stuff. How about social media? Do you do a lot of that, Kev? I know I see you every now and then, but do you put a lot of emphasis on it?
We have Trevco Motorsports and then my personal page, Kevin Trevlin. It's always back and forth with those two. I have Instagram, which it's a hit or miss if I post anything on that. Bill Daniels, he's usually taking care of the Trevco one. I usually got a wrench in my hand half the time. I don't really get the – I look at it more than I post and stuff. But, yeah, that's how you can view most of what we're doing. Even the Laura Authier Racing page the Authier Racing page, we're all back and forth on posting back and forth for whatever we're doing.
Well, you can tell you had a wrench in your hand this week. You've also got a checkered flag in the other one. It all pays huge dividends. Kev, can't thank you enough for the time tonight here on Racetime Radio. Do you think you'll surface at the end of the OSS season? Do you got any plans to take that car and hit up any other races, or would there be any other races you could hit up?
Well, the OSS cars, they're not really, you really can't run them in too many particular divisions up here in Canada. I'd really like to find something or somebody to partner up with to run the Great Canadian. If somebody's interested, I'd love to do that. Being a part of the CASCAR program like years ago, to do a Great Canadian weekend. And even so, I always said the bucket list was to do like a Delaware NASCAR race, because it would be full circle back to the CASCAR thing. But I know it's all money, and those are my bucket list things. It might happen, it might not, but those are things that I'm looking, trying to put together. If somebody's interested in doing a late model for Delaware, I'm definitely available.
Well, nothing wrong with dreaming and setting goals. That's how you do it. And
absolutely.
You definitely hit the marks. You checked all the boxes this weekend. It'd be cool to see you in that Great Canadian 300.
That would be cool. I take care of the equipment. I take care of my own stuff as best I can, because I know how much things cost. So.
Well, and you do a dynamite job with it. Kev, thanks so much for the time. Have a good one. Absolutely. And you and Lori be safe, eh? Have a good one. And when's the big day? When are you getting hitched?
December 19th this year.
December 19th.
December. I won't forget the date because it's my car number.
And True Racers, right? You're getting married in the off season.
Yes, the best thing, because that way it won't ever won't interfere with racing or the anniversary, because you know can't celebrate because we're racing. We did that on purpose so we wouldn't miss it.
Oh, you're not gonna. Kev, thanks so much. You have a good one, bud.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Kevin Trevlin right there, number 19. He's in the Ontario Sportsman Division. Sounds like he's got a dirt program coming up. Watch for him and his fiance, Lori. She's going to have a car in the field next time out. All things looking up for Kevin Trevlin in the 19. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to grab Josh Stoddy, the mayor of Chesley, Ontario, and yet another championship, this one from the beach. We'll be talking to him next live on Race Time. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody, I'm Summer, and we'll be right back on Race Time Radio.
Tonight's Race Time Radio is brought to you by Quick Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter, Napa Auto Parts Stores, Port Hawkesbury, New Glasgow, and Andy Ganesh, Nova Scotia.
The NASCAR Canada Series is on Rev TV, Canada's only national touring series, featuring the best drivers in the country, racing on challenging street circuits, ovals, and road courses. The NASCAR Canada Series on Rev TV, brought to you by WeatherTech Canada.
Tonight's Race Time Radio is brought to you by Two Speed Motorsports in Hanover. Shop now for Raptor filters, set up wheel plates, roll-off scale stands, tire carts, and more. Proudly made in Canada. For details, get to twospeedmotorsports.com. It's time for over 30 years, Quick Quick Fire Starters have fueled this sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your Quick Quick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. Quick Quick Fire Starters. No harmful chemicals, and guaranteed to light your fire every time. Quick Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. Tonight's Race Time Radio is fueled by AP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology, and by Rev TV Canada, from two wheels to four and so much more. The race is on Rev TV Canada.
From the high banks of Daytona, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to Joe's.
Hey, shake and bake, Cal. Woo, shake and bake.
And here on Race Time Radio.
And welcome back, one and all, to Race Time Radio. Sure hope you're having a great long weekend. It's the last one of summer. And the next one up will be Thanksgiving weekend. And we'll be talking about ACC, right? Autumn Colors Classic weekend will be upon us. Every Thanksgiving weekend, it's ACC at Peterborough. Things are shaping up to be a doozy there. Of course, before we get there, we've got Oktoberfest, Oktoberfest, Frostfest. Let me say it that way. Frostfest, always look forward to that. Mike Schmidt, London Recreational, puts a pile into that particular event. He, along with Grisdale and Flamborough Speedway, created Frostoberfest 15 years ago or so, something like that, a while back, took Frostoberfest and turned it into what we know today as Frostoberfest. And it's just an amazing weekend at Flamborough Speedway. You get racing on Friday and Saturday night, I believe Sunday as well. Not sure if it's a two-day show or a three-day show, but everything that's got wheels on it that runs on a short track here in the province of Ontario will be at Flamborough Speedway that weekend, and we're always looking forward to it. Some of the most unique trophies in the sport come out of that particular weekend. If you're a faithful viewer or listener to Racetime Radio, you'll know around this time of the year, we get Hop Islak that comes on the show. Hop is from Northern Ontario, like way up north, and he makes the trophies, and they're igloos, and he carves them, hand carves them. I believe it's out of soapstone. They're just absolutely a work of art, gorgeous. And it's Mike Schmidt that commissions Hop to build these, and that puts a lot of money into them. But they're hand done. No two are the same, and some of the most unique trophies I've ever seen in this sport, and I've been kicking around a long time in short track racing. We do have Hop lined up on the show. We've had him on in the past, haven't got him tonight, but in the next couple of weeks, I'll be contacting Hop to get him on the show, and we'll find out how this year's round of igloos is coming. He always does a special tweak to it here or there to make them a little bit different than last year's model, in case you got repeat winners, and I do believe we have a couple repeat winners that now have more than one igloo, but they are one of the most sought-after trophies in this sport. Guys really want to get their hands on them, and the only way you can do it is to go out and win your division at Frostoberfest, and that comes up at Flamborough Speedway in the month of October is when that'll run. Now, you'll remember Sunset Speedway over in Stroud, Ontario. They always had, what's it called, Velocity Weekend. And they would do a fall velocity, a spring velocity, and that was the way they kicked off their season at Sunset, and that's the way they wrapped it up at Sunset Speedway. Well, we know Sunset Speedway is not around anymore. Hopefully, and I say hopefully, next year someone grabs it and gets it going again, but doesn't look like that currently. It looks like Sunset is in the history books forever, and it's just a shame that that facility is no longer producing races like have happened for, I don't know how many years they were in business. It would have been over 50 years. Steve Slaughter, which has passed away, we think of Steve and Carol and Jeffrey and Steve Jr. and the whole family over there. I worked with Steve Slaughter a lot back in the day. He was one of the original founders of the All-Star Racing Series. It was myself, Steve Slaughter, and Kim Wallace were the three originals that created All-Star. And after year number one, it was down to me and the other two guys. Supported All-Star. All-Star would step back. At any rate, Fall Velocity is an event that when Sunset shut down, there was a lot of long faces. A lot of race fans would absolutely love that weekend. Whether it was in the spring or in the fall, they would be at both of them. Well, Sauble Speedway now is going to take the Velocity Weekend, and they're going to run that at Sauble Speedway. So that's something that's brand new for the beach, and it's going to be cool to see the Fall Velocity take place at the beach. They had a big concert weekend this weekend. And then the track, I believe, next weekend goes a little bit dark, lets everybody reset. And then September the 16th, 17th, 18th, or however the dates line up there, it's that weekend there. And it's called the Riptide Weekend. And same as Frostoberfest and ACC, everything with wheels on it's going to be running over the course of time at those tracks. And that's going to be Sauvo's big weekend is still yet to come. So you'll want to check that out. But when we're talking Prolite models and the beach, you got the name. Josh Stoddy has to enter that equation. He's been a champion there more than once. As a matter of fact, he's the current points winner, a champion. He did that last weekend at Sauvo where he nailed it all down. He's got the championship in the boogie board to prove it. And he also joins us on the Zoom line right now. What's going on there, champ? How are you?
Hey, Joe. Good. Yeah, just got back last night. Celebrated the Riptide or the music festival weekend at the beach. So even though there was no racing, still ended up at Sauvo.
Nice. So you went to the concert. How was it?
It was amazing. It was really well organized. I honestly, 10 out of 10. You didn't waste any time getting your wristband. Everything was really organized, all kinds of food trucks, and just kind of nice to see the Speedway use it as a different venue for some different income.
Yeah, that's excellent. I'm so glad to hear it. Because I know a lot of emphasis goes in, and believe you me, Josh, you can lose a mountain of money if you haven't got the right weather, or this happens, or that happens. It can really break you down in a hurry. It's so good when they put the effort in and it's successful. Man, that's just says a lot about the beach and the community of it. But there were good acts, some big brand name stuff happening there last night, too.
Yeah, some massive band names, and the camping looked absolutely packed, and it looked like the sod place next door worked with them for some parking and stuff like that. So just nice to see, like I said, another venue being used as a different venue, and hopefully they can keep it going. It was really good, really well done.
Well, hopefully all those concert goers come back on the Riptide Weekend to watch you guys behind the wheel of your race car one final time at the beach in 2026. You are the champion for Prolite models out there. That's got to feel good. I know you've been a Prolite model champion there before, but more than one is good.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. It's been a few years since we chased the points at Sauvo. And, you know, when we went to the driver's meeting, they were, what's it going to take to get the 17 back there? And, you know, they worked with us on a date. My little sister was getting married throughout the summer, and I said, if you can help me with the date of not scheduling late models on August 15th, I'll be back in a heartbeat and I'll register today. And they upheld their part of the deal, and that was pretty amazing to accommodate me as a driver to make sure that I was there for their regular stuff, fighting for points. So yeah, it was pretty amazing to get back and just. I still can't believe that over the years, I've got three late model championships at Sauvo. So just never thought in my journey of racing that I'd have one, let alone three at my favorite place.
Josh, it's got to be tough, too. You're a regular in the APC series. You're right up there in the points for that. But when you go and compete at Sauvo, we'll take Sauvo for instance, because that's the one you did. When you roll in there to run one of the Saturday night programs as part of that points fund, you got guys that aren't running APC that are running that, and that's the one they're concentrating on. There could be a big advantage for those guys that aren't running APC that did try and get the championship that you ultimately ended up winning. When you can concentrate on, you know, what was there, six races or eight races in that series versus you got those eight plus all the APC shows. You got to be extremely careful and have more than one car like you've got.
Yeah, it's pretty tough, you know. The race cars, the track changes a little bit, but when you're taking a car and setting it up for Delaware, and then you're coming back and you're trying to get it to where it was the week before at Sauble, it's very hard to do, even if you have your notes done right. So I think it's a testament to the 17 team. I got a lot of great help and support making sure that I get there and am fast each week. And yeah, the team just jived really well, and can't say enough about being back home. It felt special to be home. I felt like Sauble did a really good job. They really had a lot to offer this year, and just getting the families involved, my kids, having two kids race, and you know, isn't always the easiest thing, but the track did the power wheel drags, and my son absolutely just took off from that and has more interest in racing and cars now that he's drove the track on his little electric power wheels. So yeah, it's pretty awesome to come home with number one.
Oh no, another study that got bit by the racing bug. I'll tell you what, that's music to everybody's ears to know that this is all going to continue on as time unfolds. And you still got a billion races to do. You're a young enough guy. You're going to do it probably longer than what Dwayne did, your dad, more than he did in his career probably, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I mean, provided the marketing support's there, and I've got the team support and the family supports it, then yeah, I'll go as long as I can go. I've never, with my kids, I never pushed the racing on them. I mean, as a dad racing, you hope that they show interest and get there, and hopefully they do, but got to get them in a car and see what that's all about. But yeah, it's just it's a sport that we love, you know. It's a lifestyle. It really is. It just, even having a weekend where you're not racing, you're just kind of walking around the yard wondering where should we go Saturday, like.
Yeah, and that's what it's like, right? When the season ends up finishing, you know, you've run the final laps at Peterborough Speedway, Autumn Colors Classic Weekend, you know that's it. Put a nail in it, it's done, that's the end of the year. I know what you're saying. The following weekend, it's like you're lost, right? You get this lost feeling that you think you should be at a racetrack. Even going out and working in the shop, it still feels weird. That last week, maybe even 2 weeks after that last race of the year, you kind of feel guilty sitting on the couch and watching TV for a minute.
Yeah, you get a little relieved that the season's over, because it's just, you know, it's such a grind. But then that following Saturday comes and you're not running, and you're like, well, now what? What do we do now? And you still find yourself the same people in the shop working on something with nowhere to go. But for the 17, we've done a pretty good job the last couple of years of branching out, you know, going south and doing a few things. And I think we've got a few things cooking here in the off season for us to do. But yeah, we still got some big racing left. We got Riptide Weekend and the Jeff Casty Memorial at the beach. It'd be nice to put our name on that one. We still got 300 laps at Delaware with APC. And then there might be some information coming your way after that.
Yeah, well, before we get into the 300, I have to ask you about the actual championship night. The 81 Avengers L did win that race. I want to say I seen Tom Gibbons' name, the number 10 from Fort Elgin. He ran that race second, and then you were there. Take us back to that last night. Where did you qualify? And sounds like there was more cars there for the finale than there was throughout the course of the year. Take us back to that night. Was it what I'm kind of thinking it was, a real dogfight to get up there or what?
Yeah, last points night. So, you know, we've been battling really hard. We won four out of the seven races there this year. We got five pole awards. So championship night, went out. Wasn't exactly happy in practice with the car. Threw a bunch of stuff at it. Went out second practice, and then we really liked what we had. Went out for qualifying, set the pole by a long shot. So was really confident in the car, but also knowing that you're running for a championship, I had enough points with Tom that I had a little bit of, I didn't really have to push it as much, you know?
Right.
So I started fifth, and that's pretty much where I ran the whole race. I got inside the seven car of Ty. He's been quick all year, and I just there was times that I could have passed for fourth, but I didn't need to, and I didn't need to get myself in a vulnerable situation to spin Ty or myself and have to go to the back because, I mean, as much as I had some points on Tom, I didn't have it wrapped up by any means either. So I did have a spot where I had to finish. I think if he won, I had to finish sixth or better. Andrew come out, he was quick. Dwayne Baker and Gord Shepherd come out. Those are two pretty quick cars to go against, you know, the rest of the Saltwell field. And just it was kind of just a points night of racing. It kind of sucks to do it that way. But ultimately, it was big picture racing for us, and it paid off. So, yeah, we settled for a fifth place finish and a car in one piece and brought it home.
And that's what champions are made of, what you just described there. Sometimes you got to do the big picture stuff. And that the younger Josh Stoddy, that didn't fit into the vocabulary. You wanted to go full tilt all the time. But at some point, you have to look a bird's eye view down at it and say, what's best for the team here? And so, by the sounds of it, that did come into play. And that's cool, Josh. That's what it takes. Last year, you come away with the APC championship. Talk about one that's hard to win. That one was paramount and a real tough one to lead and to win. What do you think? You got Delaware coming up with the Great Canadian 300. That caps the season. What do you got to do? And does it depend on what everybody else is doing, or have you guys sunk that far into the actual numbers part of it for the Great Canadian 300?
Yeah, I think ultimately for us, we're too far out of being able to win the championship. Just the 52 has been so strong, and we missed a race there. We got rained out at Sauble. The series was trying their best to do a makeup race of some sort and just couldn't pencil it in, just not enough time. And so, you know, was really looking forward to getting back to the beach and hopefully racking up some points, but it just didn't happen for the second time. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I just want to go out and go after the 300. I have nothing to lose. I want to win races, and I ultimately want to put my name on the board with the rest of the guys that have run that race and won it. So, you know, we went there opening night at Delaware this year with APC, and we had a really fast car. So I'm hoping that we can get back, same old thing, you know, a couple months later, get back to the notebooks and all the measurements that we had and get the car close to where it was. But, yeah, we're going to dig hard this week. We're going to hopefully get down there. We might even run there next Friday night just to get some seat time and hopefully dial the car in.
Yeah, and nothing wrong with that. Things do change, especially from the heat of the summer. We're starting to maybe experience a little bit cooler temperatures at night, and it does change things dramatically, or it can, on the racetrack. Kind of cool when you can get those numbers and make them sort of do what you want them to do, if, in fact, you can do that. And you've been pretty good at grabbing the notes, setting the thing up, and going out and getting results. When we look at the season itself, Josh, you got more than one race car. I know when we come back from Florida this year, you had the car that you had down there. Man, it was beat up on every corner after, what, 8 nights of racing. On that half mile, which is insane, I might add, you come away with good results, but you did come away with the car that was hit all the way around. I didn't think you were going to be able to save that car. It's one of your favorites. Did you save it? And is that what we're looking at behind you? Or is that one still in process?
No, it's actually still over here. But yeah, we ended up salvaging it back together. It's got too much sentimental value to me to go anywhere. I've got a lot of first experiences with that car. So, you know, my first APC win came in that car. My biggest APC wins in that car. Doing speed weeks with it, Nashville with it, Riverside. Like, it was hard to not not repair it. So within a week or two of being back from Florida, I went down to McCall's and was on the jig to get all fixed up. And ultimately, it's won 3 races this year and hasn't missed a beat. It's still got a little more speed in it. I just got to find it. And but, you know, that's a race car driver for you. Well, never happy.
If anybody can find the speed, it's you. I've seen you pull rabbits out of your hat right at the racetrack. Watched you in practice. I'm going to say it was about a month ago, watching you in practice. And I thought the car looked fantastic, but it wasn't showing it on the clock. It was slow. And I could see you sort of, you know, concerned. Never mad, but just concerned. And I said to Dwayne, I said, what's up with him? Man, his car looks great. He goes, no, it isn't there. It's not. He's going to try something. And we'll see if we can get it there. And lo and behold, you went from, you know, humdrum concerned into a real happy number 17. And I couldn't see it until I looked at the stopwatch, and presto, you did pull a rabbit out of your hat or somewhere that night. That's tough to do, especially at a place like Delaware.
It's really hard to do, and I mean, if you're just the general public and you're not a racer, like, honestly, a quarter-inch adjustment on these cars can make or break you, and sometimes you're doing 3 of those, so you're just... You are concerned because you're like, I know that if I can get on the other side of it, I'm going to be really great. But what do I need to do to get there and hopefully not go too far and go the other way of it? So the technology in the cars anymore, they're just so finesse, and it takes literally every adjustment, every 1/8 inch. So you're trying to make sure that you do things right. And, yeah, when you're able to do that and come out and win, or, you know, you're, say, 10th in practice, and then you can come out and say, you know what, I qualified and I'm really happy with the car, and then you go out and win a race, you're like, we nailed it tonight, you know?
Yeah. You nailed it, and you can feel it. You can see it, and you can feel it. We're with Josh Studdy tonight. He is the champion for 2026 at Sauble Speedway. Tell me, Josh, the Jeff Cassidy Memorial. We miss Jeff terribly. It's a shame to see he's gone, but Tina, his wife, and Paul Grizzell created the Jeff Cassidy Memorial Race. Is that race part of the Riptide Weekend now, or is it a standalone race?
No, it's part of the Riptide Weekend. So I think what Saul was trying to do is... you know, like any other facility, Delaware having their great Canadian 300 and Gold Rush with Flambro, they're trying to get that, you know, that invitational feel back, but make it a weekend event. So it's kind of very similar to what Sunset's Velocity used to do with Spencer Lewis promoting at the Speedway. Now he's got a 3-day race weekend, and we run on the Sunday. So we're going to go out, we're going to camp at the track and take the kids out, and Friday night, the 17 is actually got a band coming to the Speedway between, I think, Corey McAllister, Dwayne Baker, and Dwayne Stoddy. They've got a band lined up to come out for all the racers to enjoy on the Friday night. So I'm trying to get that invitational feel back, get everyone involved, and make it a family thing. So really looking forward to, you know, we miss Jeff a lot. Tina's been really great. She's really stepped up to the plate and done a good job at Sauble Speedway along with the Gressel family. So, yeah, I just honestly can't say enough about Sauble, Joe. They've really done a good job of making it feel like the old days and feeling like home and working with you and just having a lot to offer for everyone.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Now, that race, the Jeff Cassidy, how many laps are we doing? Is it 175?
I'm not sure what they're doing. Like in the driver's meeting, they were thinking twin 75s with a combined points thing. But I seen the layout the other day and it looked like just one 75 lap race. So I'm not really sure on that portion of it, but they got the payout posted. And I mean, if there's anyone with a late model, there's no reason why they shouldn't be there.
Yeah. Is it the same rules as APC?
Yeah, I think a lot of the tracks are trying to adapt APC just because, you know, just get on an even playing field. Let's make it easy. We don't want to change. If you guys want us to support the home track stuff, we don't want to be changing you know, the car over just because. So the other speedways have kind of adapted the EPC stuff, and I believe that's what Sauble is aiming towards.
Yeah, it will only make sense, right, to try and get as many. But there are now a couple of tracks got late models of a different flavor. Trying to melt them all in can be a tough job, but they'll get it. They'll get it dialed in. And so the Riptide weekend, the late model portion of that, I would take it you're going to go after that as well. Do you know what we have for laps to look forward to on that particular part of it?
I do not. I'm no help to you on that one, but it's all on the Sauble Speedway Facebook stuff. I know the racing kicks off Friday, and then obviously Saturday and Sunday. We run on the Sunday portion of everything, but they've got a lot of great classes that are going to be lined up, and I bet you the pits are just packed.
They will be. They'll be jammed. It'll be, yeah, hopefully we can get the same weather that we just had this weekend. That would just knock it into outer space. That'd be real cool. Hey, congratulations on yet another championship, and it's going to be a hoot at Delaware Speedway, watching the Great Canadian 300. How are you going to do that? It's a 300-lap race. You've been running all the other ones, but, man, nothing comes close to 300 laps at Delaware in one of those cars.
I love it. Honestly, the extended long races, the strategy. You know, even Joe Chisholm Jr., he hasn't been able to make a lot of our races with everything and, the NASCAR stuff that he's helping with, but we get him back for the Riptide weekend and back for the 300. So, you know, it's going to be a little different for us this year. We don't have to be as conservative with points or anything like that. We're not really even looking at that. I think we're sitting in fourth, which is nothing to hang our heads at with a broken control arm and a DNF from a power steering pump. So, we're still kind of there, but we want to go out and give it hell and win the 300.
Yeah, well, if anybody can do it, kid, it's you. It's been a great summer. Let's cap it off the right way. And, hey, maybe we'll have some other announcements. You're just threading the needle here. I'm going to have to get you back is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think we got a couple of exciting things that we're committing to.
Any chance we get that suggestion I threw out there for that Stoddy road with no speed limit on it, just for a little stretch outside Chesley, Ontario?
Yeah, that'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. Run for office now. You can do that. You can still race and run to be mayor of Chesley.
Yeah, right.
you got lots of time. Just a couple of asphalt guys, right? That's all.
Yeah, just a bunch of hard-working asphalt guys doing it on the asphalt track on Saturdays.
You kill me with that. I remember you saying that a while ago, and I laughed. I went, you guys work your butts off. Doesn't matter whether you're putting asphalt down or putting a race car on the racetrack. You don't know the meaning of half-assed. You guys go full tilt all the time, and I can see another full tilt weekend coming up. You're on track next weekend, maybe Friday night at Delaware?
That's what we're planning to do, obviously weather permitting and everything else. But yeah, I think if the work schedule will allow us to slip away Friday afternoon and we can get to Delaware, we want to be there.
Which car? The one behind you or the one beside you?
The one right behind me.
That's the one. Okay, we'll keep our eye out for yellow and red, that configuration.
Yep.
Sponsors, who you got?
Yeah, so Racetime Radio threw a sticker on the back bumper of the one car one night at the beach. That was pretty cool, and it stayed there all season long. Thanks for getting me on the show, Joe. I really appreciate it. Canada Flat Roof Systems, Canada Clean Fuels, Vinny's Masonry, Nickel Insurance, and Piccoli Construction, Clearwater Shore Civil Engineering, Jay Bumstead Financial, Ryan Enright and the Cooperators, Farrier Contracting, MEI Paving, JBM Electric, APC Auto Parts, Langland Farms. I think that's pretty well Daco, IBOC. Thanks everyone for their support, my team, my family, my friends, everyone that's behind the 17 and making her fast.
Well, you do a good job, kiddo. You put that championship out there. That's saying thanks to everybody. I can guarantee you that. Have a good one. Be safe, and we'll maybe see you at Delaware on Friday night. I know I'm going to go Saturday for the NASCAR Canada finale, and then probably back again for the Great Canadian 300. Can't miss that.
No. No, you don't want to miss that one. That's going to be a good one.
None of them. We'll see you soon. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Josh Stoddy right there. You can follow him along on Twitter, too. Primetime Stoddy is his Twitter handle. They do a great job with that race team and keeping everybody up to date. If they go testing or anything like that, Josh is really good about keeping his fans up to date. And I'll tell you, last year at Delaware Speedway, when everything wrapped up, the end of the 300 come up, Josh at that point knew that he had won the championship in APC. And I couldn't believe the number of people that were at that racetrack with either a 17 on or a, you know, a full-blown jersey or the number of people, it blew my mind. And when I say he comes from Chesley, Ontario, the whole town of Chesley went absolutely crazy and knew that Josh won the championship. I kept saying they should have on the, you know, the welcome sign coming into town. Each small town or each city has got, you know, a population sign. I'm waiting for them to come out with the Chesley, welcome to Chesley, home of Josh Stoddy, the APC champion. It means that much to the community, and it's too cool. We are going to hit a break. When we come back, I'm going to try and get Andrew Ranger on here. That would be kind of cool. He won today at CTMP. We'll find out if we can get him on for a couple minutes on the other side of the break. Stay with us, everyone. Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Stewart's Equipment, with four locations, two in Erin, Cookstown, and Stainer, featuring Kubota, Turn Faster, Cut Smarter, Power Up for Spring, servicing South Central Ontario since 1955. It's at Stewart's Equipment.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
The NASCAR Canada Series is on Rev TV, Canada's only national touring series, featuring the best drivers in the country, racing on challenging street circuits, ovals, and road courses. The NASCAR Canada Series on Rev TV, brought to you by WeatherTech Canada.
It's time. For over 30 years, Quick Fire Starters have fueled this sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your Quick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. Quick Fire Starters. No harmful chemicals and guaranteed to light your fire every time. Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. There's work and there's fun. Both require the right equipment. Since 1955, Ed Stewart's Equipment has specialized in both, with a full lineup of Kubota, Honda, Still, New Holland, and most selections are in stock, ready to go, with four locations to serve you. Two in Erin, Cookstown, and Stainer. It's Stewart's Equipment. With the right equipment, work can be fun.
Your weekly fix of newsmakers and newsbreakers is found right here. We call it Race Time Radio. With your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, one and all, to Racetime Radio, coming to you live from the Racetime Radio studio. Well, today, in the WeatherTech 200 at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, it was a familiar face in victory lane. He drives the 27 Chevrolet for Faye. His name, Andrew Ranger, and we got him live right now. What's going on, Andrew?
Hello, Joe. Yes, we won today. Awesome.
Absolutely. Good job behind the wheel of the 27. Did it feel, Andrew, like you had a winner from the time you unloaded?
I think I have a fast car. I knew that, you know, yesterday for qualify, I didn't have like a really, really quick lap. But I think I said to my guys, look, don't touch the car. I think we have a good car for the long run. And it's exactly what happened. So I was able to save my stuff, the tire, the fuel, and to finish with a big win like that is just amazing for us today.
You gotta love it. CTMP, not only did we have perfect weather conditions this weekend, but man, the fans turned out. It seems like every weekend there is more turnout at CTMP. It looked full this weekend.
Oh, yeah, it looked full, and the field was full, too. 39 cars today. Awesome crowd. Like you say, a perfect weather. A lot of RV everywhere. So I think it's definitely one of their best weekend here at CTMP, and just fantastic to win here.
You got to love it. Andrew, you went through turmoil off the beginning of the season, and things looked like they were going to go and looked like it was going to stop. And long story short, by the time the green flag went in the air, we had Andrew Ranger behind the wheel of the 27, yeah, just like we should. And yeah, you made the best out of a real rough start at the beginning. Yeah, you've done an amazing job with all that. Look at the results.
Exactly. It's what I say to my wife, you know, while crazy story, you know, we didn't know when we start the season if we will have the wheel, if I will stay behind the wheel this year for the Paye car, and you know what we won today, so it's quite amazing. Yes, we didn't did the trip at West, but overall, you know, we proved that we were fast. We worked really hard with the team, and wow, it's hard on the driver, it's hard for my heart, but amazing finish like that. It finished the season perfectly.
Yes, absolutely. Right on the money. Now, when you look at 39 race cars on the track, never before have we had that many in NASCAR, yep, Canada at CTMP. What is it, a big difference, Andrew, when you're in with 39 cars? Like, how are the lap cars to deal with? How are the new guys, so to speak? Did everybody pretty well run respectfully, or yeah, did you have trouble?
No, I didn't have trouble. I'll be honest with you. I think the trouble was more yesterday in practice. You know, a lot of car in practice. Everybody was trying to make one or two good lap. With 39 cars, it's not easy. But overall, to see a field like that, it's for me, you know what? I'm a driver, but first I'm a race fan. And to see a lot of cars like that on the track, it's amazing. It's good for the series, good for the fans, good for our sponsor. Some track where we go sometime, we are 15 cars. It's not looking really good, I think. But to see 39 cars, it's amazing for everybody. So to me, it proved that NASCAR Canada is in good shape for next year. And every time we do road courses, big Grand Prix, big event like that, it's good for a series, good for a crowd, you know. So
you've had a lot of podiums this year. You haven't had a lot, yeah, of wins. You got one now. But what's it been like for you running in that second spot, being so close without getting into victory lane, and then to hit it today and everything comes together? The difference between a second place and a first place feels good, but man, you worked as hard in those second place finishes as you did today.
Yeah, I know. Like you say, you know, we have a lot of podium finish this year. Markham, we finished second. We might be have a shot, you know, in the hairpin with the 96, but to finish there with a nice podium, good point in the championship, and not just for the championship, but good point for us, and to come here ready. We know that we all knew that we have a good car, and just to finish like that, you know, on the road course, a big win here in CTMP with 39 car, it's a big dream.
Will we see you at Delaware Speedway? Is the plan now to finish the year at Delaware?
When we start the weekend, it was no, but right now I think we're going. So, I have a really good talk with Matthew Kingsbury and Jean-Claude Payé. So right now it looked really good to go there. So, this is big news for us, and, so happy for my guys just to go there in the last race in Delaware. So, I think it's 100% sure we're going. So this is a good news.
Ah, that's fantastic news to hear that yes. You're going to be at that. It really speaks, volumes, you know, when you see 39 cars come out, and to see the momentum that things are coming along. We needed that big time.
Oh yeah. Like I said, it's good to have feel like that. You know, 39 car. It's a lot of cars. It's good for the TV. Good for the fan or sponsor. You know, we have a lot of sponsors this weekend. They camp here and they saw like the big the place, the Harvey place. It's full here. It's packed. So when you do a big event like that, it's just good for everybody.
Andrew, have you had time personally to look at 2027 and lament, sort of do any kind of planning, or do you have to finish 26 before you let your mind go there?
Only thing I can say is when I finish 26, it's we will be very close to sign the deal for 27. So it's something that it's very important for me, for my team, but for me mentally, you know, it's been a big story that we have in the beginning of the season. So I think everybody understand that it's very important to sign the contract right before October or November, so we are ready to go for January.
Yeah, and same thing for the race teams, really, with NASCAR. You guys need the schedule out so that you can plan. Has there been any word on the schedule for 2027? The trucks coming back to Canada. Yeah. I can't help but think maybe Andrew Ranger in a truck back at CTMP.
That would be awesome just to do that race. Yeah, definitely. We did, I think, in 2013 or something like that. We did both, but when we finished fifth, actually. So we run pretty good here. So you know what? It's a good plan, and I'm ready to go for next year, definitely.
Well, we'll get Delaware through. That's going to be a big one. Race fans, you don't want to miss it. NASCAR Canada, Delaware Speedway, next Saturday night under the lights. It's truly going to be a huge one. And then, Andrew, you got a little bit of time, and then I guess you can get your snowmobile out. It's not going to be that far away.
Oh, no, definitely. It's the snowmobile will start in November, so it starts very early in Quebec, in the north of Quebec. But before that, we have a lot of work. You know, I have my own business, Academy Andrew Ranger, where we have the NASCAR experience. So almost every weekend, a lot of Fridays, we are very, very busy. So a lot of work right before November. And after this, yes, we can do some snowmobile and have fun for the winter.
Yeah, you never got into racing the snowmobiles like your friend Villeneuve. Those guys got into it big time. You didn't race them, did you?
I didn't race snowmobile, but I was factory driver for KTM Canada for motocross ice racing. So I did that for many, many years. I broke a lot of legs, arm, but that's why I quit a little bit to do some snowmobile off trail. And yeah, it's just another passion that I have. Yep.
Oh, you guys, I'm telling you, amazing. To see, when I watched the race today and I seen you going, what was your thoughts when the caution came out with five to go? I went, why is the caution out? I had no idea that car had quit. I thought, NASCAR's doing one of these adding drama. Oh, I was upset until I seen the car was stopped. I went, okay, I get it.
I didn't talk a lot on the radio, I can tell you that. I was quiet, nervous. You know the deal, you know, with the green-white checker, a lot of things can happen, and I have a pretty comfortable lead, you know, to the end. So, man, I did a great restart, and when I saw that I was pulling away a little bit to 96, oh, I maybe have a chance there.
Yeah.
And when I saw the checker flag, it's all the pressure, everything, it's go down. And you know what? It's like we talk. It's I have a lot of stress this year. I want to prove that I can be the winner. I want to prove that I can be there in the championship and in the NASCAR series. And that win means a lot for me today.
But you're not proving anything to us. We know that you can win races. We know it. Just amazing. And we can't thank you enough. Rusty, I'll get you just to hold off there a second. And Andrew, can't thank you enough for jumping on Racetime Radio. And congratulations on the big win, man.
Thank you very much. Very happy to talk to you. And it's a big win for us, my friend. For us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. I'll see you at Delaware.
Thank you very much. See you in Delaware next week.
That's Andrew Ranger right there. Goes to Victory Lane. CTMP, the WeatherTech 200. Andrew Ranger owns the flag. Too cool for school. Now we're going to go off to the west coast of Canada. Just last night, we had the Canada 200, the 49th annual, I might add. It was at Saratoga Speedway, and you want to talk about a tough, tough race to go out and win? Our next guest did just that. He went out and won the race. Let's welcome in Russ Jensen, driver of the 65. Russ, what's going on? You got to be some happy today.
Yes, I'm pretty excited. Can you see me?
Yep, we can see you now. Yeah, your internet's a little bit slow, but yes, we can. That was quite a night last night.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I'm just parked on the side of the island highway right now. I didn't realize this was happening.
Yeah.
So, kind of just over. Let's hope this to happen.
Ah, yeah, the signal is, it's busting up and freezing up on us, so we can barely get that, but we can, we'll try a little bit more here. Russ, how many Canada 200s have you ran?
I believe, well, I've kind of forgot a lot of them, but I believe I've probably been in 10 of them.
Oh, wow. Have you won just the one, or have you won the Canada 200 before?
Yeah, just one. I've only won.
Well, that's okay. You got the one
second
that counted.
Place.
That last night was an amazing way to, you know, to take the Canada 200. Same thing with you. I just got through with Andrew Ranger. Caution with five to go. A late caution, the same thing happened in the Canada 200 out in BC. What was the thoughts going through your mind in the 65 when you seen that caution flag come out with just feet and laps to go?
Well, I was pretty concerned that that was it. I thought I was going to get taken out at the end there, but we held her off, so that was pretty good.
So, did you run the full season at Saratoga Speedway with the 65 car?
No, actually, this is my third race this year. So, work's been a little slow this year. So, just kind of toned it down a little bit. Can only afford so much racing in a season when you're not working much. So,
exactly.
But yeah, it was good to get out for the important races.
Yeah, no kidding. You did a great job behind the wheel. The four car was, he probably led the most laps out of the day, but yeah. You definitely in the 65 car, you led the right ones. The car looked real stable at the end, but those restarts can send you through a different dimension.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, I honestly can't believe that happened last time. Truth with a bunch of greats now. That's pretty awesome.
So how many more races do you have left to do personally? Are you done now for 2026, or do you have more races planned?
We have one more small race, just the championship at Agassiz Speedway, and then we'll be done for the year.
Yeah, so one more, Agassi Speedway. That name has come up a bunch this year. You guys run a lot of late model shows there. Do you get out to Agassi a bunch?
Long weekend, we had a memorial race fight there we've been doing for 4 years now. And so we had a pretty good melt that weekend, and it turned out to be a great weekend. And the race had nobody complained to me about any of the race. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I would say.
Which is rare.
At the end of this weekend, you ended up with your name on the Canada 200. There's a lot of big names on that trophy, my friend, and you rank right up there now with those guys.
I honestly never get my on that trophy with these guys. It's be amazing how it all happens. Yeah.
How about sponsorship on the 65 car? Russ, who have you got? We'll try and make sure we get them in there.
Well, which is my parents, they've helped me out the most. But I do have a few sponsors that help me out for the Porky Memorial Race. That, like, I've got Rep Industries, Your Tools, Fraser Valley Fire and Protection, and Hunt Security. Am I forgetting anybody? No, I think we're good there.
Yeah, got
them. So they help out lots for the Porky Memorial to make. We want everybody at least $1,000 to start the race. And
well, you've done an outstanding job. I hate it for you. We've got terrible internet connection, but at least we got it pulled off, Russ. I appreciate the time and jumping on. We'll get you back on Racetime Radio here in a month or so, and we'll see what the plans are looking like for 2027. Sound like a plan?
That sounds like a plan. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That is Russ Jensen right there. Goes to Victory Lane, Canada 200 at Saratoga Speedway just last night. Dynamite to see him in Victory Lane. Done the race event like 10 times. He finally did it. Come away with the checkered flag. And now his name for the 49th annual will be on the trophy. Very cool for Russ. I can see our next guest is up. We're going to hit our quick break. And when we come back, Josh Tissington is coming on Racetime Radio. He won a truck race. And we're going to talk to him and find out all about it next here on Racetime Radio. Stay with us. We will be back live. Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Leaf Racewear. Fuel your passion and confidence at leafracewear.com. We're an essential part of any team.
The IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship is on Rev TV. Catch all the action live with full race coverage of the high-stakes action that North America's leading sports car series delivers. Four classes, world-renowned drivers, and leading manufacturers putting it live to be champions. IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, right here on Rev TV.
It's time for over 30 years, Quick Fire Starters have fueled this sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your Quick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. Quick Fire Starters, no harmful chemicals, and guaranteed to light your fire every time. Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter.
The NASCAR Canada Series is on Rev TV, Canada's only national touring series, featuring the best drivers in the country, racing on challenging street circuits, ovals, and road courses. The NASCAR Canada Series on Rev TV. Brought to you by WeatherTech Canada.
There's work and there's fun. Both require the right equipment. Since 1955, Ed Sturt's Equipment
has specialized in both, with a full lineup of Kubota, Honda, Still, New Holland, and most selections are in stock, ready to go, with four locations to serve you, two in Erin, Cookstown, and Stainer. It's Stewart's Equipment. With the right equipment, work can be fun.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Quick Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. Napa Auto Parts Stores, Port Hawkesbury, New Glasgow, and Andy Ganesh, Nova Scotia.
Of newsmakers and newsbreakers is found right here.
We call it Race Time Radio.
With your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, one and all, to Race Time Radio. Man, are we having a zipper tonight? We got lots of guests, and now we're going to talk about some Canadian Super Shark racing. It happened last weekend. Out in Saskatoon, they got the championship all wrapped up, and we will hear from Dave Vinard in just a bit. But before we get to Dave as the champion, what do you say we talk to one of the feature winners? This guy drives the 31 truck, an absolutely beautiful machine, and he joins us on the Zoom line right now. What's going on, Josh? How are you tonight?
Good. Sitting at a hotel with Steve right now, helping out with the girlfriend's son's modified Super National. So
nice, nice. So that's a nice track, isn't it? GP does a good job up there.
They do a wonderful job up here. Yeah, I can't wait to race up here. It's first got rained out at the beginning of the season. So
yeah.
Next weekend we're going to be able to hit.
Well, the 31 truck was firing on all cylinders last weekend. Kind of nice to win one of those before the end of the year, right?
Oh, it is nice to get the W under the belt, especially against these guys. And we've had a season where we went to Folsom, the truck broke down, both main events. So it was good to see a light at the end.
Yeah, and that's a lot of hauling for you guys, right? You went all the way down to Folsom, Montana for a weekend of racing. That's a long truck for you guys.
Yeah, a very long truck, but great racetrack, worth every penny with the process.
So when it comes up again next year, if it does, who knows? We haven't got the schedule in front of us, but I would take it. It sounded like it was a successful event. You'd be the kind of guy that would be heading back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We will be heading back for sure. Great team, or great track, great people there. Felt very welcome there. They're happy to see our trucks race.
Yeah, and beautiful job on those trucks. How long have you had the truck, Josh?
I got the truck end of last season. I think I did two races to get used to it, rebuilt it over the winter, and then got it going for this year. So,
did you come out of a late model, or what type of car did you have before getting the truck?
So I raced Super Stock late model, EIR's late model class. I did that for 3 years, and then took the jump over to the Super Trucks.
Big difference, Josh, going from a car to a truck, or does it feel like a car?
It doesn't feel like a car at all. These things are a beast to handle compared to what my car was. It was a big wake-up call.
Well, another challenge, right? And that's race car drivers love the challenge. I guess they'd be kind of tail-happy or loose. Can you get the looseness out of it?
We did pretty good in Saskatoon to get the looseness out of it, and it showed it. We had some issues in a couple of the other races in Saskatoon, but when it shone, it did good. You know, we got handling well, firing on all cylinders, like you said. So, yeah.
Saskatoon, a track you guys run a lot at. Take us around that speedway. What's it like in a truck versus a car?
Well, last year I had my late model there, so pretty easy comparison. The car sticks to the track. The truck, a little bit more horsepower, the bigger tires and all that, and it's a lot looser than the car was. So trying to get used to that loose feeling really shows on that track.
Yeah, you can feel it. You can feel it. And that's got to be an unnerving feeling, really, when you're trying to do the speeds and the truck wants to do what it wants as opposed to what you wanted to do. Who have you got as a crew chief? Is there a lot of input from the team into the truck?
Well, I got Steve Morrow's. That's my girlfriend's father. So I got him in my corner, which is great. He's got, I think, like 15 years experience with super trucks. So jumping into this, I had knowledge in my back pocket and all that, just a matter of the driver figuring it out.
the hard part, right? The driver's got to fit in there. How many total wins have you got in a truck?
In the truck, that's the first one. This year, that was my first completed race without issues with the truck or getting rained out. So, yeah.
Well, kind of cool when a plan comes together and at least you got a victory to show for it.
Yeah, at least it turned it back to the highs of highs rather than the lows of lows, right?
Yeah. The agony of defeat. Do you know what you're going to do over the off season? Racers are famous for saying, you know, when I get to the off season, I'm going to make this change or I'm going to do that or update this. Is there a laundry list of what you want to do through the off season?
We did a lot last year, so it's only a few things to help it handle a bit better and stuff like that. Bit to do with the braking, we're going to change up on and stuff like that, get it a little more updated. But other than that, we took care of a lot. So
yeah, and that's good. Are you a fan of the longer tracks, the faster ones, if you will, or do you like the Bullring, the tighter speedways?
Like the 3/8 finals, I really do. They seem to be enough to give you enough straightaway, but the eye opener in Polson for how fast that track was compared to the tracks we got up here, it was really nice to go down there and hit that big. Not that it's a bigger track, but different shape track. So, yeah,
you get a D shape or whatever, and you get that little extra kink. It can make a difference. Sometimes it works for the guy as opposed to against.
Very much, yeah. And getting used to that line there was really different than any track that I've ever been on. So, you know, yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. Social media, Josh, do you do a lot on social media?
The girlfriend does a little bit on social media. We should pick it up a little bit. So we got a Facebook group and an Instagram group. So, yeah.
Well, over the off season, it'll be busy times, right? That's where you can really polish that craft and work away at it. So now, are you done racing now then with the championship behind you?
Well, we're going to do one more race in Hythe next weekend. Just more of a fun race. We got rained out of Hythe at the beginning of the season. So there's a group of us that want to come up and hit the track next weekend and get that race over our belts to see how that goes.
Yeah, so it won't be no points paying event. It's just going to go up there and let her rock.
Yep, and hopefully it comes back in one piece.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, you got a little while to fix it, and that's a good part.
Yeah, at least it isn't a 2-week punch team.
How about sponsorship on your 31 truck? It's a beautiful-looking truck.
Thank you. Yeah, that's my rap guy. That's Atomic Banners and Signs. He made a beautiful truck. I just had to drive it as fast as he made it close. So I got Guest Automation and Cashflow Oils. They're on with us with all our lubricants and all that stuff. And then SM Automotive, of course, and Steve Morrow's crew chief.
Well, you did a fantastic job. So 2027, you're just going to go do all the races? Is your plan to run the full year, go after the championship?
That is the plan. Hopefully we got enough in our back pocket to give Dave and these guys a run for their money, but I'm racing against some talented guys. Like, I got guys with way more years experience, way more talent than me. So, but we held our own in Saskatoon, so hopefully that's the way it's going to go in the future, is we can get on top.
Well, they never topped you last week, eh? You're the guy that took the checkered flag, so you'd be the targeted one.
Yeah, I probably did put a bit of a target on my back. I don't know if they're expecting Chuck to come out that fast finally, but, you know, got to keep them on their toes.
Now, it's going to be the same truck next year. You're not going to buy a new truck or try and go that route. You just, there's no sense in selling it. If you're winning races with it, it sounds like you'd be able to keep that thing going.
That is the plan, is that we keep it going. We got, like I said, a lot of stuff worked out a bit over the winter, so get a bit more worked out, and it should be a front-runner truck by the time we've got it.
I haven't got a photo of the truck here. Are you Ford, Chevy, Dodge? Oh. What are you?
It's a Chevy body on it with a 604, so it's green and black. It sticks out pretty good in the group of trucks, so yeah.
It stands out. Spotter-wise, do you guys have spotters? Do you do a lot with the radios?
We do a lot with the radios. It is tight racing with these guys. It's side-by-side pretty much every lap, whether you're in the front group or the back group. It's great racing. My girlfriend spots for me, Tandy Moros. So I got to kind of listen to her a bit more, you know. She gets her place of the relationship where I have to listen.
Yeah. You become a good listener and respond the correct way.
Exactly. Or I hear it in the pits and at home.
Double down. Josh, are our Stewart's Equipment hot seat interview of the night, and rightfully so. Lighten the lamp like you did. So you're going to look Grand Prairie, at least go up there for one more event. What kind of structure will that race be? Is it going to be a 100-lap race?
We don't know yet. I haven't got any word on what we're doing for that race. I think it's kind of up in the air with what the track wants us to do type thing, and go from there. Hopefully, for me personally, hopefully it's 50 to 75. I know the other guys, they like the longer races of 100 laps, but I don't have the endurance like they do.
You know what I always loved as a race fan? I can remember going to Flamborough Speedway, and once a year they would hold the triple 50s at Flamborough. And I'll tell you what, that format was incredible. You got three 50-lap races. They always started them. They'd invert the finish from race number one. If you won it, you started dead last in race number two, and then vice versa in race number three. It was a great format, and I'll tell you what, fans, they packed them in from the top to the bottom.
That would be a great race format. I know I really like the twin 50s, you know, get 50 laps of racing in, it's side-by-side, action-packed, and then bring the trucks in, let them do whatever little tweaks you got to do for the next 50 and give them another good show, right? So the triple 50 would be another animal to take on.
Yeah, well, they would run twins. That was the Coca-Cola Twin 75s or the Crawlinator Triple 50s. I remember them like it was yesterday. Always a great format to see some of the iconic racers back in the day. I'm talking Junior Handley and Don Biederman and Wayne Keeling. The list was long of all these accomplished guys. They've come out, and they were big money races. They weren't points. They were just big money. Do you love running the points events? Do they mean more to you than the dollar races? Or which way do you prefer it?
I haven't ran a lot of dollar races. All the ones that I've done are points. And there isn't a lot of high dollar races that I've found, especially for this. So I don't have a really good comparison on that. The points are great, you know, gives you something to strive for all season type thing. At least you can have a hiccup in a race, still come out on top, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfair, too. As the series grows and as the truck count goes up, that's, I guess, when you're going to have more of those one-off or high-dollar money races. When you get enough vehicles that you know not everybody's going to qualify, that changes the game.
That does. Yeah, then everybody's bringing out the best of their best, and everybody wants to be part of that show. So our truck count is climbing. You know, it's gone from, I think we're up to 12 or 13, maybe 14 trucks this year. So, and by the sounds of it, a couple more are coming on board next year. So it'd be great to see this series grow and travel a bit more and go to tracks and hopefully open up the invitationals where they're high dollar race and stuff like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, with guys like you in it, there's no other way but to go up, and that's going to be cool. Josh, we appreciate the time here on Race Time, and we'll get you back on. That's cool. You got your first truck win, and you made your first appearance on Race Time Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. That is Josh, and I don't want to destroy your name. I think it's Tizington, right? Did I hit it right?
You got it. You got it. Yep.
Good deal. Josh, thanks so much for the time. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
You bet. Yeah. How about that? Wins, eh? That's what you want to do. When you get to a racetrack, you want to go out and win. Sounds like that's what Josh did. Got his first win in the truck, and then they're going to head off to Grand Prairie. Hopefully get some more races in. They've been plagued with rain this year. Those poor guys, they would haul to a racetrack to sit there in the rain. And it's not like here in Ontario where you can go an hour or maybe an hour and a half and hit your next racetrack. Not so out west. They're hauling. And they're going from, you know, from Saskatchewan all the way into Alberta and into BC at times, picking up their next race. They got 8 and 10 hour one-way trips. So, yeah, kind of tough on them. And it's going to take time. But trust me, that Canadian Super Truck Division, it's going to grow, and it's going to grow huge, and rightfully so. It's going to be cool to see them as they go through. We're going to hit our quick break, our final one of the night. When we come back, we're going to have that champion from the Canadian Super Trucks, Dave Vinard, is going to join us live right here on Race Time Radio. Stay with us.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology.
Tonight's Race Time Radio is brought to you by Two-Speed Motorsports in Hanover. Shop now for Raptor filters, set-up wheel plates, roll-off scale stands, tire carts, and more. Proudly made in Canada. For details, get to twospeedmotorsports.com. Since 1955, Ed Stewart's Kubota in Erin has provided top-of-the-line equipment featuring a full line of Kubota tractors and attachments. Let our knowledgeable veteran sales team match you up with the right product, complete with full parts and service for 70 years. Stewart's not only gets you going, but keeps you going. Stewart's Equipment. Get the job done. It's time for over 30 years, Quick Fire Starters have fueled this sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your Quick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. Quick Fire Starters, no harmful chemicals, and guaranteed to light your fire every time. Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
The NASCAR Canada Series is on Rev TV, Canada's only national touring series, featuring the best drivers in the country, racing on challenging street circuits, ovals, and road courses. The NASCAR Canada Series on Rev TV, brought to you by WeatherTech Canada.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Maybe you're tuned in on Tuesday night on Rev TV from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. You'll find Racetime Radio on Rev. And if you haven't got Rev TV Canada and you want to check it out, absolutely free, you can do that all this month, all the way through September. Rev TV is up for a free view for the month. And I believe every cable provider across this nation has got Rev TV on their lineup. So click on over. If you're on Rogers, mine is channel 540. Now, I have Rev TV, so I already subscribed to it. And I would suggest you do as well. Check it out. If you're a race fan and you know you are tuned in to Race Time, you're going to absolutely love Rev TV Canada. You name it, they've got it, and it's all available on Rev TV. Check them out. Do it today. And we look forward to you jumping on and seeing Race Time. Wayne Bratton. Wayne, I know you're tuned in. Hope you're feeling better, buddy. Keep it going. We got lots of races still to come. Get feeling better. We'll see you at Flamborough or at Sauble or maybe even Peterborough. All coming up still so far. And you've got Delaware Speedway. Look at the action there. Next weekend, NASCAR Canada's there. And the weekend after that, we're right into the APC finale and the Great Canadian 300. So still lots to come as we look on that calendar. But what do you say we get back a guy that's been on Racetime Radio a few times this year? This time, he's on as the champion for the Canadian Super Trucks. He drives the number 7. It's Dave Vinard. What's going on, David? How are you?
You know, I'm good. Kind of finished up the regular season last weekend in Saskatoon with a really good event. Lots of promotion in conjunction with our friends at YXE Auto, the auto clearing group, put on a pair of Twin 50 races. So it was really good. Really good deal to end the year off. Super, super well promoted by our friends at the SSCRA. I mean, Sutherland Speedway put on a great show. We had our friends from YXE. They brought out a big contingency. It was a really good night, really good weather, really good night in Saskatoon to be racing on the big fast 3/8 mile. So we're really happy. The group had a good showing. Everybody timed in within 4/10 of each other. So the racing is really, really tightened up.
Yeah, that's tight. That's what you want as a race fan, as a driver. You want the field to be tightened. You want it to be a challenge. And it sounds like it was. And how about Josh in the 31 truck getting his first win in the trucks? That's it's special time. He'll never forget that.
No, Josh. Josh, due to working restrictions, he's just been really busy this year working. He comes from a racing background. He's been fast. He's been fast every time he's been out. They've had a few little gremlins, had some little issues pop up and catch them a little bit going really fast in Montana. So it was really nice to see him get out and get out in the lead. And there was no catching him. I mean, Kyle was all over him. Fitzy was all over him. Grant Mills, I mean, and he did what it took to stay out front and win that deal. We're very happy to see that. Our young guys this year, toward the end of the season, things went really well for them. Davin Korpinski got back on track and ran third both nights. Super good racing both nights, or both features, pardon me. The track champion from the Superstocks, Braxton Clues, ran super good both nights, back on track, racing like he was as a champion in that series. And then out of nowhere, Kane Fraser's boy, He came involved, and I mean, he's leading laps every weekend. I mean, he gets out in front on us by half a track. So it's really hope they come back next year. There's a lot of talk that Kane may race himself, and Caden will race also. So I mean, it's every dad's dream to race side by side with his son.
Yeah.
So you know, a lot of good things that way happen, kind of to end the year off. So been a good year. 2026 has been a good year. We're gonna go up to Heist and race with our friends Ian and BJ up there one last time next weekend. It's more of a fun race. No points, the season's over, but always good to go to Hythe. Great group of people up there. We miss not getting to race there this year, so we're certainly happy to be able to come and do that. Our friends from MNP are very close there, so it's just nice to get up there and put on one show this year. Our dream is that next year we're going to possibly look at running a deal where we have one big event every month minimum, start in May, possibly Medicine Hat, Southern Alberta. We're in talks with our friends at Penticton and see if the Trevor can whittle us into the Fall Classic deal in October. It's absolutely beautiful there in October. So that's kind of our plan. We're going to go to the Montana 200 next year again, it looks like, and back them up. So Herm and Garth have really laid a super ground package here for the group to take off with next year. Garth is going to step back a little bit, maybe do a little more consulting from home rather than being on the road with us. Herm's going to try to put the business program together with Garth and just see if we can find some people that'll jump on board and, you know, keep the momentum going. Because right now we're a dozen, 14, 15. There's two or three people tapping at the hook. So, I mean, we just need to get to that 14, seven rows of racing every week to kind of turn the corner a little bit. But we're right there. I mean, it's not far off right now. I think we're as close as we've ever been.
Yeah, and when that truck count gets up there, it seems more, they're like cautions. Cautions breed cautions, and really, race cars and race trucks build race cars and race trucks. The momentum is everything. And to see what you guys were able to do this year and look at the future, it's looking fairly bright, I would say. The Canadian Super Trucks are here to stay, and they're going to expand out. How did you become the champion with that short of a window? Did you point them to death? How did you do it this year?
You know, it was a good, like, for the seven truck ourselves, I've got really good help. I've got Brett Hebert on board. He's a longtime racer from the Kamloops area, raced along with the White brothers, and has been around racing a lot. I've got Chris Stevenson. Chris is a longtime engine builder, chassis guy. He and his brother Matt are longtime BC racers that have really, really done well, both racing and helping people. Chris and his dad, Ron, came along in my first year towards the end of the year. Ron is a really good driving coach, very successful guy in his era of racing. And they changed everything for me. I mean, it went from, you know, struggling and trying to keep up and stay out of the way to things going a lot better. I credit everything to a lot of Ron's driving. Just not necessarily trying to get myself off of dirt onto asphalt, try to be smoother, try to watch how I'm supposed to be doing things. And also good help. You know, the old F-150 was good all year. We just were lucky. We didn't have any bad breakdowns. The 2 years, you know, 3 years ago and 4 years ago, we had one breakdown every year.
Yeah.
One breakdown's too many in this deal.
Yeah,
one is too much.
When you have that, it's kind of hard to, especially with a shorter season too, right? With the weather, and if you do have a couple of races where you're dealt bad cards or you have bad luck, well, even cutting a tire down can make the difference between, you know, having a decent night and struggling for weeks on end, all because of one silly thing that happens way back there. It can snowball is what I'm getting at. And sounds like you had a season that was all bang on. Everything worked right. But I guess to do that, you have to be set up to do things right and hit your marks. And David, you did it.
Well, you know, you got to lose a couple championships to win one. We definitely lost a couple. The competition's really good here. We have really good guys. I mean, this year, Ricky Summers came along, ran a full season. He's a very, very capable, very smooth, very accomplished racer. Grant Mills, finished second, was right there all year. He had a little bit of bad luck on one night, and that was enough for me to get a little bit out in front of him. Next year we're going to have, one of the three O'Connell boys racing in every race. Ricky will be back. Grant will be back. Fitzgerald, who's, you know, always been a strong runner in this series, past champion a couple of years. He and, Brian Sparks, they've got a race shop in Wainwright, Western Racing Products. They build the trucks there. They're going to freshen a couple of more trucks for a few new guys that are looking at, joining forces. So, if those guys come to all the races, we're going to legitimately have 8 or 9 people that can win.
Yeah.
We have a really cool deal with our friends, the RIV Toy Box. They do some stuff with us all year for trophy dashes. We didn't have anyone win 2 trophy dashes this year.
Really?
So, I mean, that in itself speaks volumes that the group has just evolved a little bit. And at the end of the day, if you have someone different winning a trophy dash every night, that's a good thing. So that kind of along with that brings into the fact, like I said, we're half a second from first to last. So
Yeah. It's
not like you're driving through the field. We do a full invert every night, every race. So, I mean, if you start 12th and you want to win, you need to really race. Well, if you start 12 and you want to win and the slowest guy you're racing is only half a second slower than you, I don't have to tell anybody that's raced. That makes for a long night at the office.
Yeah, yeah, it sure does. And it's pretty well self-managing, if you will. You know the guys are doing well when they start further back in the field. It's the way that it's set up to actually do that, which encourages the guys that are starting up front now to be able to stay there and, get better. Where you want to start these races is in the back because you know you maximized your points.
There's that too. I mean, I know the first year we did this, the guy that was keeping track of the points, he was doing it, I think, a little bit the way the IMCA Modifieds do it in the U.S. where they pay passing points. So it was quite funny. I was keeping out of the way, starting dead last in every race and finishing 8th and 6th and 9th. But every night I finished and I got passing points, whereas the fast guys, when we weren't inverting, were starting at the front row. We found ourselves at the end of the 4th race and I'm in 4th in the points. So, of course, they realized there's something wrong, changed that back to how we did it before. And, of course, I went back to 9th. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, I think what you want, you want consistent guys. Everybody has to feel good, feel like they're contributing and getting better. I mean, we've had some people come into the series and they're just fast right away. Ricky Summers is that way. Davin Korpinski came from winning lots of championships at EIR and got in the 79 truck. And halfway through the season, he was finishing 3rd because he understood racing. He understood how not to jerk on the wheel. He understood how to, you know, brake when the wheel's straight, turn like you do on asphalt versus some of the guys like myself that came from dirt and, you know, we throw them in the corner. So I think the goal we have is to try to make it so every night it's exciting to watch the racing. And the way to do that is by bring people out that can race, that can keep their vehicle straight. And at the end of the day, we're not racing to be the next, the next Ron Hornaday that gets discovered by Dale Earnhardt.
Right.
We're all just old guys having fun. Some young guys that are doing this in between, going to Pro Late Model and things like that later, getting some experience with the bigger tires, controlling something that's as heavy as these trucks. And as it goes on, some of those guys will move on. They'll get Pro Late Models and that'll be just the evolution of the sport, I think, for us. At the end of the day, we're happy with it.
How do we get Cameron Haley, that is out there on the west, out west in Calgary, I believe, how do we attract him into a truck?
you know, part of that is you have to remember. I mean, he's certainly a brand name. He's a big name in racing, no question. He's got a young family. He's very active in the family business. The problem we have is there's no Bill McAnally's out here. There's nobody that has four or five trucks and, yeah, you know, you can get some sponsorship and come and do it. I mean, as far as buying a truck, I won't say that's the easiest part, but it's one of them.
Yeah.
The problem you run into is once you have it in your garage, someone's got to keep working on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And someone's,
yeah,
got to drag it out to the track and somebody's got to crew it. And as good as you are, is only as good as your guys in the shop get the truck. I mean, that's for us. We've been fortunate. We haven't had any bad luck. We've been fortunate. We work on the truck a lot. That's what it takes to be consistent. I mean, it would be great to see Cameron as a brand name in the truck series get involved, but it's very difficult to find not so much even the truck, but just who's going to run this at the track.
Yeah,
it,
yeah,
takes two or three guys.
How is it going to, how is he going to have the time? I guess it would just be kind of cool to see Cameron get into a truck, being, you know, in the Craftsman Truck Series years ago, and to get him back into one out west would be kind of cool. We are getting close to the top of the hour here, and I got to hand the keys back to Rev TV Canada. But David, is this your first championship, or how many times have you been a champion in the trucks?
We won last year also. This is my second year.
Second time. Does it feel, yeah, any different than the first one?
You know, what feels really good is just that we've come a long way. What feels good is we have a good group. We got good guys. We got some more good guys thinking of joining. We had a good clean year of racing. We had very few people with damage. We went to some new places. I mean, the Kalispell deal was really good for us. Everyone really enjoyed that event. So that feels really good. I'm happy to see things moving in the right direction. It'll be tough to lose Garth as a day-to-day fellow working on the stuff, because it's a lot of work to keep all of the partners involved in this deal. But at the end of the day, I think we're happy to have a good group. We're happy to have a lot. Pretty much everyone's returning. So that's probably the best takeaway from this. Absolutely. We have another good group of guys to race with next year.
That's perfect. When does the schedule come out? So maybe if there is any new ones out there, they can do some planning.
Well, I think what our mini plan is, we've got a banquet on the 26th of this month. So we're going to have some meetings there. We're going to throw around a lot of ideas. We're going to get together with our friends at Saskatoon. We're going to get together with the other groups that we're working on. And we're going to try to have something kind of, you know, pretty much inked together by the end of November at the latest.
Yeah.
Usually try to have things sort of happening by Remembrance Day. That way the people that are participating corporately have opportunity to get money in at the end of the year. And also people can set schedules and sort of get planning, making this happen next season. So I would say no later than the 15th of November, hopefully.
Well, you'll be ready for it. I can guarantee that. You'll be ready for the banquet so you can get all your hardware as well. Where are you going to put the trophies? Are going to be up behind you when we have you back on here?
No, actually, I kind of almost never take them home. What I do is I usually leave them. The fellow where we have the banquet, Grant Mills, the guy that finished second, he has a beautiful man cave museum place out in Wainwright that we use for banquets and meetings. And he's got an area that he has set aside for the series. So last year I left everything there, and I'll do that this year too. I don't want my dogs chewing on it or something like that with my luck. So I leave them there. I mean, I love to win, and I very much appreciate the trophies and that stuff. But I mean, I'm glad our series is going the right direction. That's the biggest takeaway from this.
Well, and it's because you got guys involved like yourself, Dave Vinard, that's the reason why things go in the right direction. You got good, positive people there helping, racing, and doing all the above. But we can't thank you enough for the time tonight on Race Time. Congratulations, champ. You did it.
Thanks very much, Joe. I appreciate you. I appreciate you giving us an opportunity to get on the air, promote our deal, promote the friends that we have that are involved with this with us. I mean, we certainly appreciate you and what you do. And, you know, certainly if you ever make it out west, we'll look to take care of you and bring you to some shows and have some fun.
Oh,
we'd really like that.
You can count on it. I'll be out there. Next year, at some point, we're going to make a trip. We got to do it and see our Western fans or our Western people all in the Canadian Super Trucks. And congratulations, David. We will catch up with you soon in the off season when that schedule comes out. Make sure I get a copy of it. We'll get you on and talk about it.
Absolutely. That'd be great. I appreciate that. I'm more than willing anytime that that you feel like throwing us on the air. We want to be part of it.
We will. Guaranteed. Dave, thanks so much. Have a good one.
Thanks, Joe.
Dave Menard right there. Champion 2026 in the Canadian Super Trucks. But that's going to do it for us tonight on Racetime Radio. Got to thank you all for tuning in. Got to thank Susie Q in the production room for getting all the graphics and everything all hitched up. And we will be back with you next week. Don't forget, NASCAR Canada is going to wrap up at Delaware Speedway. We'll see you there. We're going to be at that race. I can't wait for it. Have a good one, everybody. Be safe. And we'll see you next time right here on Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig, dig, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.